Cliff College is an evangelical learning community rooted in God's Word and Spirit for the purpose of equipping God's people for practical ministry and cutting-edge missional engagement.
For more than 100 years, we have trained people for mission and evangelism and have seen our students go on to do extraordinary work for the kingdom of God. In this podcast, we'll be hearing some of their stories and finding out what insights they have to share about their ministries and the communities they serve.
Welcome to Ministry Roadmaps, a podcast from Cliff College. Welcome back to Ministry Roadmaps, a Cliff College podcast. It's great to welcome you. I hope you've listened to some of the other conversations that we've been having with friends of Cliff and students of Cliff and previous students of Cliff. It's been a great experience. So welcome again, I hope, or welcome for the first time if this is the first time you're connecting with us. There's lots of other ones to listen to. So I'm Ashley Cooper. I'm the principal here at Cliff, so it's great to welcome you. I've got a number of folk around the table. We're really excited to have a guest with us this morning, Craig Price. Say hello, Craig.
Hello.
How are you doing? Are you good?
I'm doing good.
Whereabouts in the country are you at the moment, Craig?
Right, I am over in Ellesmere Port in Cheshire, near Chester, not far from Cheshire Oaks. I think that's what people know Ellesmere Port for most.
Cheshire Oaks. I love Cheshire Oaks. Love Cheshire Oaks. I have many bargains from Cheshire Oaks. What we should have done is the podcast at Cheshire Oaks. That would have been great, wouldn't
that
it?
That would have been really fun.
Craig, we're going to come back to you in just a few minutes. It's great to welcome you and have you around the table with us virtually this morning. Also around the table, I have my colleague again, Ali McKenzie. Say hello, Ali, and introduce yourself.
Hi, Ash. I'm Ali McKenzie. I'm student welfare manager here at Cliff, and I'm on faculty, teach a little bit as well.
What do you teach, Ali?
I teach in pastoral ministry and spiritual practice.
That's amazing. How long have you been around the college?
About 6-7 years in one way or another.
It's great. You're always a smiley face to have in the college. You bring, with other members of staff, you bring the joy to us each day.
We try, Ash.
Each day you bring the joy. And also, in each of our conversations, we've had a student with us to kind of reflect on life now at the Cliff, and we have Sean with us. Say hello, Sean.
Hello.
That was short and sweet. Now tell me a little bit about what course you're doing and where you're up to and all those things.
I'm in my third year of the Theology and Ministry course. Been here 2.5 years.
2.5, so you're on your way out.
Yes. I'm going to go into ministry now.
You're ready. You're ready.
Prepared. I don't need any other teaching.
Equipped, prepared. There's a bit more teaching still to do. There's a dissertation still to write.
Oh, no, it's all right. I don't need to do that.
Yeah, you do.
It's 8,000 words.
Just say it fast.
Can it be a speaking one?
No, it can't be a speaking one.
Right.
It'll be a written one, and it'll be great.
Okay.
So welcome, everybody, and we look forward to conversations together around the table.
Let's go to an ad.
Cliff College offers courses to equip the whole church for mission and ministry in the 21st century. And with our online learning platform, you can upskill from your own home or from anywhere in the world. This April, we're offering 2 new online courses, Christian Spirituality and Issues Facing the Church Today. Gain valuable insights that will help you in your ministry while learning alongside others from around the country and across the world. Learn more at cliffcollege.ac.uk/equip.
Welcome back. Craig, we're going to have a conversation together. What I've done with each of our guests so far is do a number of quick-fire questions. Okay. Now, I've had to adapt them slightly for you because all of the guests we've had up to this point have been residential students at Cliff College. And you were an MA student and therefore were never formally residential with. I know you slept in many of our beds over the years. Why is that funny? The people around the table are laughing at that. But Craig has slept in many of our beds over the years as an MA student, but not been residential with us formally. So I'm going to have to adapt slightly the questions that I have for you. So here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Craig, so here are the questions. Are you ready? Yeah. First thing that comes into your mind with these questions I want, all right, as long as they're clean and healthy and don't make Cliff look bad, okay? Are you ready? Here we go. What years were you a student at Cliff?
2020 to 2022.
Perfect. What was the favourite unit you studied?
It was cheating, really, both the biblical theology ones, biblical theology missions. So there was an Old Testament one and there was a New Testament one, both of them.
Okay, who was? I know the answer to this question. Who was the principal when you were at Cliff College?
It was Ashley Cooper.
There you go. Did you have a favourite lecturer?
Ashley Cooper.
Yeah, you are a creep. No, on a serious note, any favourite lecturers that stand out for you?
Kirsty. She taught a lot on the Old Testament module.
Yeah, she did. She's great. How many times in your time here do you think you've been to the bridge?
Probably most times I've been there, maybe. so at least 7 or 8.
Okay, there we go. How often did you walk up the edge?
Once.
Just for the listeners, the edge is one of our big cliffs nearby. It's a beautiful location. Just once.
Guided tour.
Right at the beginning of the when you started your MA. Never went again. Can you remember any standout food dishes you had at Cliff?
All the ones that come served with custard.
Yes, I'm with you. The custard is amazing.
Ash often just has the custard.
I do, most weeks. Cause,
it does depend on the day, though, to be fair.
And who's made the custard?
Yeah.
and what kind of mood the people who are making the custard are in.
Yeah, yeah.
But generally...
Make it nicely. Put a bit of cream in it.
I know. Sean works in the kitchen, or did do, for quite a while, so she sees how it's made. And when he puts the cream in, boy, it's actually a really nice custard.
I didn't know they put... I'd have it more often if I knew that.
Well, secrets. I'm not allowed to tell you, Ali.
So I'm with you, Craig, on the custard. Do you have any favourite students you shared your time with?
Oh, we have such a great bunch. I think on the MA course, because there's so many students on the MA course, you meet different people in every module. So I couldn't say. There was people in every year. I can't pick any of them.
Are you still in touch with any of the students?
Yeah, there's quite a number of us that are in touch. I haven't been ejected from the Facebook group yet either. So at some point I might get ejected, but there's still a Facebook group just for the MA course where we share advice and tips and stuff, and there was quite a lot of ex-students in there, so it's quite a nice conversation in there.
That's great. And final question, and I want an honest answer to this question, okay? Are you ready? Are you worried yet?
This is hard than a job interview, isn't it?
Did you ever Skype a lecture?
Ooh, did I Skype a lecture? I might have done. I might have gone for a walk at some point. It's hard to resist a walk, isn't it?
To the pub.
It is hard to resist a walk, especially when there's a lecture to have.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that's just setting the scene a wee bit about some of your standout memories. But if you were to think back to when you were studying with us, Craig, what are the thoughts that come to mind when you think of Cliff?
I hope you can think back, because it's not that long ago.
It's not that long ago. What are your standout memories?
No, it's not that long ago, but it's amazing how much things have changed in those few years, isn't it? And so... If you survived there 2020 to 2022, which was COVID time, wasn't it? Which made it a different experience, I think, than for a lot of people. But also, that was probably the reason I actually managed to get there, really, because everything else stopped or paused, and then things were sort of slower. And as we'll probably explore and stuff, I'm just used to being so busy that I didn't cope well when there was less on. And it didn't take long before I got fed up of watching box sets or joining Zoom quizzes every couple of nights of the week and stuff, that I was just looking for something else. So the start of my Cliff experience, I suppose, or what was a reminder of a Cliff experience was morning prayers, because I was suddenly working from home the whole time and I needed some sort of rhythm to my day. So it was morning prayers that drew me in. And then so I was connecting every day when I was here, as long as I didn't have a meeting at the same time. And then when I was thinking, I'm bored, what can I do? You know what, I could do some study again. The first place to look was Cliff. So I guess the start of my Cliff experience as to coming on the MA course was digital, which is actually the world I work in as well. I'm used to doing things digitally and stuff, but I actually really wanted to come on site. So I think, Ash said I wasn't a residential student. I would have loved to have been residential, but we weren't allowed to come on site at that time.
So,
our connection was like this. It was over screens and stuff. It was meeting people in sort of Zoom chats and Zoom conversations after recorded lectures for some of it. But it was an amazing use of putting something central, I suppose. When everything else stopped, I was able to fill the time with something really purposeful and really meaningful.
Had you been thinking about theology for a while in terms of studying?
Yeah, so my first degree was in half theology, or theology and religious studies, and half music, which is two of the big things that I'm involved in, apart from digital, which is my day job. And I really enjoyed that, and I'd never studied theology before I did my first degree. My first degree was at Liverpool Hope, 2004. I'm giving away my age now, aren't I? But I really enjoyed studying theology and did try and study more afterwards. So a couple of years later, I did an applied theology postgrad certificate at Chester. And I would have loved to have finished and done a full MA at that point, but I was straight into the world of full-time work and trying to balance, you know, what was sort of a secular course, really. It was a secular institution alongside sort of busy life. Just didn't work. So at that point, I got as far as postgrad certificate and stopped. But I always had this sense that I would do some more study at some point. And I've, you know, every couple of years, I found myself looking on websites at all the sort of theological institutions and looking at what their course is like. So I would have looked at like London School of Theology and others that do sort of in faith perspective courses, because that's not what I got the first time. And I think it's what I really was looking for the second time. And at that time, found the Cliff course. Actually, as well, just to jump back, a lot of the theology courses that you find at MA level don't have anything Bible based in them. You know, there's different focuses or different appliedness in them, but no sort of biblical theology modules, which is what I really wanted to do. And the course at Cliff combined that with mission, seeing how this, you know, relates to not just studying scripture, but putting it in context of the world we are, was what I was after.
Craig, let's come on to life then a little bit, because we've talked about Cliff, we've talked about study. The other folk we have talked to generally have full-time positions in ministry. Your story is very different because you come to Cliff already in employment. So just tell us a bit about your day job and what you do and what life kind of looks like for you as Craig Price.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? Trying to think about what is ministry and what is life, really. So I work as a business analyst for a bank, one of the biggest banks in the UK, in a sort of digital role. So that might seem like it's not a ministry role, I guess. It might seem like it's very different, but I think everything just becomes connected, doesn't it? I've sort of been on the edge of what we might think of as more formal ministry the whole of my adult life, really, and sort of questioned whether I should change into those sort of roles. There's been a number of times when I've applied for roles working with the church or with charities full time. Quite annoyingly, sometimes I've become like second. You know, when you don't get a job and they tell you you came second, that's always hard, isn't it? But really, I think sometimes I
so close,
near but so far. I found that sometimes motivating to think, you know, actually, you know, I might have the skills for these things, but it's actually just not the right thing for me. And there was a time in the past when I did what the Methodist Church used to call foundation training, where you used to consider, you know, what candidating for Methodist ministry would look like and sort of have an explore and stuff. And there was never meant to be sort of an outcome to that. There was never meant to be a sort of, an end point. But I always joke that I was the one that failed the course, because I was the only one in my group in the 12 of us that didn't candidate for the Methodist ministry in some form. But I think what it proved in some ways was that all the other stuff that I'm involved in is my ministry. You know, and I think when I was first local preaching, I started around 2002. If I'd done a particularly good job one day, which wasn't all the time, but it was some of the time, someone at the end, as they were, you know, giving you feedback at the door, which is always fun, isn't it? Someone would say, "Oh, when are you going to go into ministry, Craig?" And you know, and I just sort of laugh the comment off and say, "Oh, I don't know," you know. But I've got much more confidence as I've got, really, to say, you know, I am in ministry. This is ministry. Mm. So when I'm working with a theatre company, or when I'm sitting on the trustee board of a charity, I'm on a couple of small charities, and when I'm doing Methodist circuit related work and stuff, sort of the attitude that we bring to that is ministry, isn't it? I think
absolutely. It's what that's a really healthy way of looking at life and ministry and the intersection between roles that we have. And I know you're on a number of things, Methodist. Well, you're a local preacher, which is great. I think, do you do something with our Faith and Order Committee in the Methodist Church?
Yeah, I'm a member of the Methodist Church's Faith and Order Committee. That just keeps me a little bit more busy.
So I need to be on my best behaviour theologically this morning.
Although I think I'm the naughty one, really, in that group. That is the Faith and Order Committee is sort of, you know, what I like to joke about being called like the great and good of Methodism. And it seriously though is the most qualified and intelligent people in the Methodist Church, and me, And it's I really struggle to sort of find my place in there sometimes. But we all bring something different, don't we? We all bring something different to the conversation. I think that's what I've found.
I just wonder, clearly you've got your tentacles go far and wide into ministry in lots of ways. Can you just reflect a little bit for me on how Cliff has helped that journey for you?
Yeah, you know, that time, that 2 years when I was studying at Cliff, it was a real period of change for me, I think, growth, you know, and it's not that I'm a really young person, I'd like to think I am still, but, you know, it's not that I was just venturing into adulthood. You know, I already, at that point, you know, I've got a mortgage and two children and a wife and stuff, and so all the things that you tick off and say, I'm grown up and I know who I am now. But during that time I was studying, as you're writing an essay, I find that, you know, not all the words that come into your head go onto the page, do they? So not all of the things that you think about during that time and reflect on are sort of valid in terms of it, this will get me marks in an essay sort of sense, but they change you, don't they? You know, so I found when writing an essay on a mission in the Old Testament, thinking about, you know, the story of Daniel and thinking, sometimes this is actually my role, isn't it? This is, I have a similar ministry in being in a place where just standing up and saying, this is where my line is. This is where my line of sort of ethics of ministry in this place right now is, you know, so, and I didn't write about that in the essay, but that it really did change me at the time. Also though, at the same time as studying for this, I was invited by someone I think you all know, Lorraine Meller, to be part of a leadership learning space where she was bringing people from across sort of Methodism and beyond who were involved in forms of leadership, particularly in the Methodist Church, but beyond really, to reflect on leadership skills. And it was another one of those things where we sort of journeyed together over the same 2 year period. And I was thinking, oh, why have I been invited to join this leadership group? Because I'm not a leader. But you realise that you actually are, aren't you? It's like when you think, what am I doing a theology degree for? I'm not a theologian. But you are, aren't you? You know, so yeah. I just found that this period of those 2 years where I was reading more and getting back into that habit of reading quickly and taking in, and not just taking in, but thinking, what do I think about this? You know, how does this change me? Just realise it. The whole thing is connected, isn't it? And this is actually allowing this time to define me, really. So, and yet you do get the piece of paper, which I'm really proud of, and is on the wall just here next to where I work all day. Even though it's not, you know, strictly related to my day job, when I sit here working, I can see this Master of Arts, and I go, who do I think I am, having an MA? You know, but there's a little work that goes into that, but the bigger work is the sort of investment in learning who you are, I think, isn't it? When you do any sort of period of study, but particularly. That's the gift of Cliff, I think.
Yeah, that's really a joy to hear that, Craig, that journey of discovery that we have facilitated and enabled for you. And, you know, that's that phrase that we're all theologians, you know, and I think when we're in the classroom, and certainly as a lecturer, I often think there's a lot of learning already in the classroom, you know, and I remember you in the classroom, Craig, there's a lot of wisdom in your cohort and from yourself as well. And Shan, I'm just wondering, how does that resonate with you coming to the end of lectures and thinking about next steps?
I mean, I liked what you said about how when you write an essay, not every single word goes down. And I'm currently writing an essay on wisdom. Mm. And in my mind, I'm like, how am I able to write this on wisdom? And for me, you know, when I write stuff, I often find myself praying. I'm like, God, anything that you want, you know, put down. Because at the end of the day, it's not me. It's not my work. You know, I'm a creation of God, and therefore, I'm, you know, things that I say are, you know, created also by God. And so coming to my final year, there's a lot of pressure when I'm thinking about my dissertation and the amount of words that I have to write just for every essay. It does seem a bit overwhelming, but actually when I'm in the classroom and I'm listening to all my friends and what they have to say, then I feel a lot of weight sort of off my shoulders, because it's nice to be around people and learning from other people as well as, you know, from the lecturer and, you know, myself, Google. That's great.
Google, that friend of everybody, Google. Sean, thank you. Craig, just to take you a little bit further then and push you just a little bit, I just wonder, because of course you have, as you've said numerous times, a day job, and then you have things that you are involved in terms of Methodism and other things and charities, and I just wonder, is there any way of kind of looking at the intersection between the MA program you studied and the day job? I just wonder how that connects. Is there any intersection between theological reflection and your current day job?
There is. I think it feeds both ways as well, doesn't it? But I think, so particularly, so my day job, I'm a business analyst in a digital area of a bank, which is completely disconnected from theology. But an awful lot of the rules that sort of govern, you know, how we provide information to customers and all that type of stuff, how we sort of lead customers through digital journeys now, are really around doing the right thing. You know, so we might have sort of laws and regulations that are given to us by the Financial Conduct Authority and stuff, but, you know, forget who's giving you the rule and stuff. It's actually because we care about customers. It's, we want people to understand what they're doing. And it's the same in the church, isn't it? But what I would say is that my day job, which is in digital, feeds, you know, very much into the work I do with the church as well, because I'm all about finding digital solutions for getting church stuff, just, you know, the admin of church life done better and easier and simpler. You know, I hate it when we're spending hours and hours working on things like GDPR, because, you know, we want to get things right as a church, but that's not what we're about, is it? We're not about GDPR regulations. We're about telling people about Jesus. And some of this admin stuff just gets in the way of what we're really about. So I love doing, you know, bringing some of my day job into church life, which is, you know, looking at what we've got to do and find the easiest, quickest, most efficient way of doing that, just to get that off the plate so we can actually get on with what we're actually meant to be about. So it definitely feeds both ways. But I think, you know, I like to think that when I'm in those conversations in work, when we're talking about, you know, how we, you know, describe a product, how we share a product on the screen and stuff to customers, that I might be thinking, you know, what is the right thing to do here? You know, how is my faith impacting this? You know, it's not about selling stuff.
That's interesting.
Yeah, really interesting, Craig. Thanks so much for sharing those insights. One of the things we've been asking our guests is if they could come up with three sort of top tips that they wish they'd learned about ministry ahead of the game, or three ministry hacks, if you like, to share with our audience, what would yours be?
Yeah, this is tricky, isn't it, to come up with three things that are sort of going to tick all the boxes, I suppose. But I think the first thing I'd say is... something that's always impacted me is imposter syndrome, you know, and finding myself in these sort of places and conversations where I think, what am I doing here and stuff. So, and I think you just, what I've learned, particularly over the last, you know, few years, and especially in those 2 years at Cliff, was to get over the imposter syndrome, because everyone's got it and we're all out of our depth, really. None of us really have a clue what we're doing, do we? But I would always find reasons why, you know, I'm not the right person to be there. I used to be too young, and now actually I'm not young enough for many things, am I? You know, I used to not think I didn't have the right experience or wasn't from the right educational background and stuff, you know. And I do this an awful lot. It goes through my head an awful lot when I'm in things like Faith and Order Committee meetings, when I see the people around the room thinking they've written 17 books and they've got a doctorate from here and stuff. And, you know, I feel like I'm the only one sometimes that hasn't got doctorate in front of my name. And maybe one day, but no, not yet. But it's, you know, it just, I think what I learned from that time at Cliff and stuff was just sort of get over that. You know, we've all got something in the classroom, you know. I remember the first lecture at Cliff, with the Greek, and we were all introducing ourselves and what our background was, and everyone seemed to have these fantastic stories about where they were working, these amazing, you know, environments they were in, people they were engaged with and stuff, and, you know, all the stuff they were doing that was just amazing. And I was going, I could work for a bank, you know. But you just need to get over that and say, actually, you know, my story is valid too, you know, and we all bring it together, don't we? So I think that is the first thing I would tell anyone, is just get over the imposter syndrome. I think the second thing I'd probably say is, and I've probably hinted this in the conversation before, is to let ministry and theological study change you, but not be this thing at the side, you know, which we just do when we've got like, oh, I've set aside an hour to study, I'm going to do the hour, I'm going to put it down, I'm going to go back to the rest of life and stuff. But it's got to become something that changes who you are and becomes who you are, I think, and that's the same, you know, so whether it's ministry or theological study, your roles in the church, you know, I'd like to think that whether I'm in a meeting in the bank or I'm at home, I'm still a local preacher, you know. And if actually the things I would say in the office are not really appropriate anywhere, I'd like to think that I wouldn't be saying them, you know. I'd like to think that my character is one and the same no matter which situation I'm in. So I think Sian said earlier on that when she finishes a course, she's going to go into ministry. But I would just encourage you and say, you know what, you're in ministry now. You know, ministry is the conversations you're in. It's all the people you meet. It's all the places you are. It's all the times when you're not doing, you know, what you might have the ministry hat on. But it's all ministry, I think. So just let it change you and let it be central, I think, is really important.
Can I just jump in?
And I think the first thing I'd probably say.
You've mentioned earlier that you are a musical director in like theatre companies. And I wondered how like that changed your view on ministry, because for me that's the kind of place I want to minister the like to young people through theatre. So I wanted to ask how that whole like the place is so different when you're directing or even on stage. But how do you bring the Bible and your faith into that? Because for me I would absolutely love to teach young people through acting.
And that would be fantastic. And I think, you know, drama and theatre has always been really important. And I think, before I answer your specific question, I suppose, it's just, I think for me and for so many other people, and there's a lady at my church, one of the other music leads, Kathy, who described something which is so true for me as well, that, you know, I used to be playing music in church before faith really meant enough, really, before really faith really meant something. So when I was sort of 12, you know, 13, 14 and stuff. And Kathy always says that sometimes people need something to hang church on, you know, a hook to hang it on. So if you've got any sort of musical skills or you've got any sort of interest in drama and stuff, sometimes doing that in the church. And actually, I remember Ashley bringing a group to some event from when he was at a church not far from where I am now. You know, and I remember them having a drama group and then touring with that type of stuff, you know, and that, you know, really connecting and stuff. But I imagine for some of those young people, it's probably like me, where, you know, you need something to hang it on for a while, you know, as to be your reason to go, you know, something that takes you to church and takes you to that place and stuff. And it certainly was for me. But now I'm helped with leading worship every week in our church. We go to St. Luke's in Hoylake. We like to think we're quite modern there. So every week the music's led by a band, and most of the time it's me and a small group of us that are leading that. So it is important. Most of the work I do though is sort of outside the church, is secular theatre. I have done some Christian theatre as well. I was involved in leading the choirs for a couple of Rob Frost's tours back in those days, you know, conducting stuff that Paul Field had written. And it is such a tool, you know. I think what I take to that though is when I'm teaching. So last night I was in Rill, wasn't sunny Rill last night, but I was in Rill last night, and I'm sharing stories with a group of people who are, you know, all from different sort of walks of life as I'm teaching music to them. Which, and yeah, the music isn't Christian music, but they do always get a bit about me. And there are a couple of Christians in that theatre company over there, as there probably are in every group, you know. And it just becomes like a shared space, doesn't it, where we can actually use this, you know, the sort of creative area to bring our feelings and emotions together as a way to play that out and stuff. But there is such a massive place for Christian theatre and Christian drama, you know, and some of the companies that go around, and you can invite them to your church and stuff, and maybe you'll be leading on these in a couple of years' time. You know, it just really can take people on that next step of making something really make sense.
Craig, thank you so much. You've just taken me back a long time doing loads of drama stuff years ago with young people. And you're absolutely right. It is a real hook to get folk in, building relationship, building community. You're working together. Mm. You're investing together. You're seeing the fruition. And that really enables, particularly young people early, to connect in. I think what you saw was The Prince of Egypt, I think, where we did the world premiere stage production, seriously, well before it ever went onto the West End. Meg Prouting, who now works at Cliff College, Meg Prouting and I produced The Prince of Egypt. It was a marvellous thing. We had to get permission from Steven Spielberg to do it. So there you go. That little moment of joy in the story. I think you have one more hack, one more ministry act. So let's end with your third one. What is it?
I think one of the hacks, I suppose, I'm trying to learn better myself is to find a rhythm of work in all its forms that allows for rest and mindfulness as well. And I had a little period after I finished my time at Cliff when I just found myself not very well, really. And I think it was some form of anxiety. And I think it was that idea of, you know, something finishing. So I'd actually focused my 2 years of doing this MA at Cliff. I'm really focusing, thinking I've got to get this dissertation done. And it's a big piece of work to do, isn't it? And it goes in, and then you've sort of left all this other stuff hanging around, haven't you, that's sort of half done, and you're giving people the excuse of, oh, I'm finishing this, and you know, don't expect stuff in Craig because he's finishing this MA for a while. And then once it's gone in, you have this brief sigh of relief, and then my brain, yours might not be the same, but my brain said, oh, what do we do now? And then sort of this panic that, you know, I'm not used to having a gap, you know. And I think so many of us like that now, especially in the church and in any form of ministry, that the work is never really done, is it? There's just more work to do. So sometimes if you finish one thing, you don't get this relief, this chance to rest and pause, but you're thinking, oh, but there's so much I haven't done. And so I just found that, you know, and Cliff Morning Prayers is certainly part of that. It's just finding a rhythm in day and in the week, you know, that really allows to just pause, you know. And so, you know, some people might call it mindfulness, some people might call it prayer, some people might call it meditation, and it, you know, whatever works, really.
Craig, thank you so much for sharing with us your story, your life, your journey, your ministry. And that's been really encouraging.
Yeah, thanks. Thank Craig. You.
Welcome back. We're just going to spend a little moment or two, Craig, if that's okay, just reflecting on the things that you've said, what we've heard, what's kind of been impactful for us a little bit. I just want to start with that. Boy, the thing I've taken from that last whole conversation is that whole phrase, what is ministry? And ministry is just everything that we do. Everything is ministry. Everything is theological. Everything is impacted by our reflection and our learning and our being shaped and our molded, whether that's in secular employment or some of the activities many of us do in church contexts. Everything is ministry. And you're talking about Cliff and how that's impacted you in that whole life area has been really, really interesting.
Mm. Yeah, and I thought it was just really interesting, some of your reflections on how your time here with the learning became foundational for you, and you know, that ministry hack around getting past your imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And I mean, we've all got a bit of imposter syndrome, you're absolutely right, or at least those of us with the insight to see it. And I thought it was just lovely acknowledging that, you know, and I think that's quite sort of permissive, isn't it, to say, listen, this is something we all struggle with and you just need to push through. And something about finding your own voice and celebrating the voice that God has given you, you know, because that's the way you are, that's who you are, that's about integration, that's about your whole self in that place of ministry, which is, as Ash said, and as you drew out, anywhere you find yourself.
Yeah. Imposter syndrome is fascinating. I get imposter syndrome every time I sit in the Samuel Chadwick lecture room, which was the old library.
Just the vibe?
I look up and I see all the photographs.
Of the principals.
Of all the principals from day one.
Yeah.
And you kind of see their kind of faces looking down at you. And as the current principal, you kind of go, boy, standing on the shoulders of giants and some incredible, and some folk I know well up on that wall, faces I know and admire, and oh boy, and you find yourself sitting, what am I doing here? But it is, as you sit here in this role, particularly it's hearing stories like Craig's that just go, actually, this is really good. It's a great place to be because you're seeing transformation constantly. Mm. And the thing you said, Craig, that I loved was you said, let theological study change you. If it doesn't change you, then what's the point? I just wonder, Sean, can you do any reflection at this moment on how theological study has changed you?
Yeah, so I was thinking about your Craig's three hacks and the imposter syndrome, your character and, you know, rest. Before I came to Cliff, I was like, do you know what? I think I might be mature enough in my faith to actually go and study. And boy, was I wrong. but for me, my family aren't Christians. None of them really believe. And through my time here, I've gone home multiple times, and my brother's been worshiping with me in the car because I put worship music on. You know, I learned that not having to like force my faith on people or having to, you know, say the most theologically interesting thing to someone, but actually just being alongside them and loving them, and you know, like you have all the brain knowledge, but sometimes it's, you know, it's about like, you know, what would God do in this situation. And it's really nice to be able to actually at Cliff to have, you know, you have Wednesday celebrations and you've got morning prayers, and it's really nice to be able to have that connection rather than just the brain and head knowledge, is actually working on your relationship with Christ through what you're learning here.
Yeah, well, thanks, Shan. That's really wonderful to hear. One of the other things you highlighted, Craig, was this need to rest and the need to build rhythm and to be wise in those ways. And of course, God models this for us. God tells us to do this. And, you know, it is something that we often struggle with, isn't it? Getting busy. So I thought that was just a really good reminder. And I wonder for folk at home, you know, listening, you know, I'd be interested to know what rhythms help, what they feel has worked for them in sustaining their lives of ministry.
Yeah, maybe they can reflect back and share that with us. And there's at the end of this, there'll be opportunities and ways to connect with us and to hear. So how has the rhythm, what's the rhythm of life for you? Share some of that with us. The only thing I wanted to just end with really was one of the things you've highlighted for us, Craig, particularly through that COVID journey, is the flexibility of the courses at Cliff. I think, this may sound like a plug, and it probably is intentional, you can connect with Cliff wherever you find yourself in life, in ministry, in work. The courses that we now offer, right from our foundational courses, right the way through to our PhD programs, are so flexible now. We can offer full online courses, from short courses and mission and ministry development programs to our undergraduate, to our masters. So don't let location be something that stops you. So, and you've, Craig, talked about how that kind of, the way those courses are put together enable you to kind of engage with them, even in full-time employment. So we just challenge folks to think, is God calling you to do that theological study, to just to get engaged again, to do the reading and the learning? Just have a look at Cliff, have a look at the websites just and see what we can offer.
Build that foundation.
Yeah. Craig, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing the conversation. Thank you, everybody around the table. Have a great day. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Ministry Roadmaps, a podcast from Cliff College. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Get in touch by email at roadmaps@cliffcollege.ac.uk or find us at Cliff College on X.